Welcome to BBS Talk Radio, the number one internet talk radio in the world. Today on For Our Beautiful You is the U.S. Beauty's State Director Assistant, Megan Baumgartner, and 2003 Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Queen, Susan Kajna. Now, before we get to speak with our two lovely ladies, I've had some questions about myself that I need to answer from a few listeners who wanted to know. First of all, I've been in pageantry for almost 3 decades. I'm known as Lady Di in the pageant industry. I'm the national director and president with the Miss and Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant, freelance fashion designer, and I've been a winner, runner-up, and I have not won. So I've done the whole circle of pageantry. We're here to build up self-esteem for women who are involved as our contestants in our pageant. And that gets me to the two special ladies that we are interviewing tonight. Let's start with 2003 Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Queen, Susan Kajna. How you doing, Susan?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me this evening.
Well, you've been in our organization for 5 years now, and it doesn't seem like that. I mean, the time has really flown. Tell the audience about the 2003 Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National title and when you won and what it meant to you.
Well, it was in June in 2003, and it was a surprise because the other girls that were competing against me and with me were all incredible women that had great platforms that they had in their hearts to get out. I thought, well, whoever does receive the title, they'll be a blessing. So at that moment, I didn't have my hopes up. I was just going and having a good time and meeting new girls and friends and just, you know, sharing. I'm a Christian woman, and so I share my faith wherever I go, and I thought, well, I feel like I was led to this pageant and to where I was supposed to be with these girls. So all I did was to do my best, and then it was in God's hands. So at that moment, the night that it was the final night, and we had an on-stage question. I always had stage fright about talking in front of people. I could talk like with you now or in conversation or even speak at my local church, fine. But when you put me up on a stage and put a microphone in front of my face, I freeze. It's like my brain and mouth do not connect. So I thought, oh, this is going to happen to me again. But I was the last one in line on that evening, and there was a question asked that to every girl that was the same, name one word that you can describe yourself in. And at that moment, a word came to my mind, and I felt like it was the Lord telling me this. He says, integrity. I thought, yes, I feel like I have that. And so I went up, and I said integrity, and for the first time in probably my life on stage with a microphone in front of my mouth, my brain and my mouth connected for the first time, and I had a good answer. I felt like I connected with the judges, and my answer was good, and I was proud of my answer. I was like, oh, thank you. It finally happened. I finally spoke on stage, and I wasn't afraid. And my husband was right there with me, so that helped too, and he's the spokesperson anyway, so he talked first and kind of warmed him up. And then that evening, they just came back down the aisle as they called the runner-up, and I wasn't called until the last one, and I knew that it wasn't just a crown that I collected. It was a mission that God had given me. And so during that year, I was able to get to probably 5 or 6 national hospitals like St. Jude's and Vanderbilt Children's Hospital and Texas Children's Hospital, these children's hospitals, to go and to encourage these kids to develop their talents and to be brave. And when I was allowed to pray with the children, I would. And then some of them didn't even speak English, and I would speak to them anyway. And I remember one little boy, he could understand English. This was in Texas, but he was Latin American, but he could understand me. And I was talking to him, and I came in with my crown and my sash on. I think I kind of scared him a little bit. and I had an assistant with me that was helping me. And I was talking to him and holding his hand and telling him how brave he was, and I was so proud, and everything was going to be all right. And I offered up a prayer. And when I started to walk out the room, he wouldn't look at me. He was embarrassed. And so when I started getting up and I walked out of the room, he started to cry. And I knew that I had touched his heart. And I won't know until I get on the other side exactly what all happened to all these children that I got to speak with. But I would never forget that year. And Diane, you allowed me to share my faith, and you allowed me to tell other people about your pageant and how supportive you were. And you don't have to be, of course, a Christian to come to your pageant. There's all religions can come. But you are so supportive, and I'll never forget that year. And you also inspired me to go on and start my own pageant coaching business, and it's been a dream, and I so appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, because it was with – you were a little nervous about getting in front of people and speaking to them.
Yes.
And with the pageant system, this encouraged you and gave you the self-esteem that you needed to get in front of people and to be able to speak.
It sure did.
And let's tell the audience – the listeners, the story about how you had to wait a year because you found out you were pregnant.
Yes, actually, I had already turned in all my information and entries and all that, and then I said, Diane, I have been trying to become pregnant for 2 years, and now once I put in my entry to try this and felt led to, I'm pregnant. But you know, it was a blessing. I came back the next year with a one-year-old, and my mother-in-law watched her, and I got to come home and put my crown on her. So it was quite an amazing time in my life.
And we're going to have a story to tell more with Susan about the journey that she started with the St. Jude's Hospital and the children who were ill, and the difference she made in the year that she was reigning as our national queen. But I'm going to get on to our state director's assistant, Megan Baumgartner. How are you tonight, Megan?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I want to first let the audience know that you are the state director's assistant for our national pageant, which is a big responsibility because you have to deal with the many state directors that all of a sudden have signed on to be with us. The growth has been phenomenal the last few months. I think we're at, 12 state directors now and growing. And so with that comes more responsibility. And Megan, how has being with this organization, USPD's National Pageant, helped you as an individual?
It actually, I can't even begin to explain what US Beauties has done for me. I came into this originally talking to Diane, asking if I could maybe get an internship to get a little bit more involvement in the pageant industry, because it's something I've been a part of since I was younger. I started out when I was 3 years old, and I've always wanted to be involved, and I can't even begin to explain it. I've been able to meet so many amazing people, and I've been able to meet contestants and meet directors, and I've made contacts in the industry that it's made me, I'm at a loss of words for what it's done for me.
Well, you know, I'm going to finish your sentence, because Megan has been a valuable part of organization, and when you do have someone come into your life and be such a part of what you're doing and play such an intricate role in what you're doing, you really want to tell that person how special they are and how important they are to you as they continue to work with you. I'm a firm believer in compliments. There is too much negativity today in the world, people wanting to discredit people, not enough empathy for human beings, and just telling someone that's with your organization working hard, no matter what it is, no matter what company, what business, how special they are to you, only encourages and keeps them going on, you know, wanting to work with you. So, you know, I want to thank you, Megan, because you've taken on such a responsibility, and now you have a real bigger responsibility because you have many state directors to handle. And, you know, I think with your personality, I think you're going to do a great job. And we're going to speak later about responsibilities, marketing, what it takes to have a successful business and things like that. Susan, you know, I want to tell you that for 5 years that you've been with us, you have been a shining example to the other national queens that have won after you. I mean, you've been in magazines, you've had articles written about you, and you know what? In the world we live in, again, we do not get the credit we deserve when we do something good. You know, it's always when something is done wrong, somebody approaches everybody and says, oh, did you read that about this person? Did you read about that? But we don't hear in the media nor read about the important things that people as yourself have done. After winning the national title, the doors open to you. And you tell the listener, Susan, exactly what happened to you with the St. Jude's Hospital.
Well, I had called them, and they're very protective over their children, and I totally agree that they should be. But they allowed me to come. They have, you know, particular days that they allow us to come in and tour. But on this particular tour, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to see any children or not, but they happened to take us in. And it's an incredible hospital because you walk in and it's the cleanest air in the world. It has the most pure air that you could possibly breathe in this particular hospital in Memphis and St. Jude's. And so I felt good just walking in. But I happened to be able to tour into the room where all the kids that come in are there for their chemo. And that hospital does a very immaculate job in offering the kids things to do, watch TV while they take their chemotherapy and their radiation treatments. They're so good to those children. I was able to talk with the children as, you know, they were getting their radiation and speaking with them and, you know, letting them know how brave they were. And it was, you know, we say amazing a lot, but it was, these kids are so brave. It was an inspiration to me how kids have so much will to live, you know, without any hair and being pulled around in a wagon in a hospital with their parents there that are totally exhausted. To just say some kind words to the parents who have not slept in weeks, it means a lot to me to be able to encourage them. And not only St. Jude's open, but locally, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital here is just as incredible as St. Jude's. They have a queen for a day, and we were allowed to go for the queen for the day. It's a program that they have that the volunteers come in, and of course that they like an actual, you know, quote, queen to come in that has a crown and has crowns they can put on the kids. They bring the little girls in, and they have a makeover, and they put crowns on them, and these are the ones that are going through all the treatments. And we get to make them up and do a makeover for the day and have them escorted around in their crowns and tell them how beautiful and incredible they are. And they let me see all the chemo patients and all the little kids. The only ones they wouldn't allow me to see were just a few of the eating disorder teenagers. And those are the ones I wish I could have gotten to because they need the most encouragement about self-esteem as anybody. But St. Jude's and the local Vanderbilt Children's Hospital are 100% motivated towards those kids. And they stay connected with me and they have programs to help them. And you don't have to just be a queen. You can be anybody and go out and volunteer to help those kids. But that opened a door for me, Diane. Having a crown and a sash opens the door for you to get to places and to people for that special moment. Because you, at that moment, when you're in there with those kids, you are special, and they're going to listen to you. I know one little girl I visited in Ohio Hospital. She got my address and everything. We wrote back and forth. She was an eating disorder patient. And I spoke to her, and I told her, you can have confidence. You can have faith in God. You can get better, and you will get better, and you're beautiful. And coming from me at that moment with a crown and sash on, she believed it, and I saw it absorb into her heart. And she's never going to forget that. When she goes back home, when she wants to not eat, she's going to look in the mirror and say, hey, you're beautiful. You know, because that queen came in and told me that, and she was special enough at that moment that she's going to believe it. And so having the crown, I could impact people because they're going to listen to you for those special moments. And so being in those hospitals in St. Jude's, it was a dream come true because those kids would listen to me because of the crown and banner.
Well, a crown and banner is very misunderstood and very misrepresented in the media.
Yay.
A crown and banner is a symbol of excellence. It's a symbol of someone that has excelled. Okay? It really is. And I don't take it very lightly when someone puts the crown and banner down. I firmly believe that being a symbol of excellence, it is a respected instrument for you to use to have doors open to you, and you've already had that happen to you. And I don't care what representation of title that you wear today, people still like a pageant winner around them to be a part of them and a part of what they're doing with their lives. And I really, really respect you girls for going out there and doing such a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, for you, Susan, I know that you're being a little shy on this, but you actually took your time to kneel down by the parents and children and pray with them and give them encouragement. So when we have a show such as ours for a beautiful you, you are listening to a woman who is beautiful both inside and out for what she has given to the many St. Jude's Hospital patients and parents who are suffering with illnesses. So, you know, Susan, you are really a blessing, and you always have been. And that is why we name our show For a Beautiful You, because it's named after people like yourself.
Well, thank you.
So I want to thank you for all that you've done, and you know how we feel about you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I think that's what anyone would do, and I just appreciate that. Thank you.
And Megan, you know, you haven't worn our crown and banner, but you should, because you came on, you were very happy about assuming, at first, a marketing role. You know, you're going to college, and I believe it's a minor for you, if I'm not mistaken. And but you felt, because an opening took place in the business, that you would want to take over and help with all the state directors to make sure that they were being taken care of, their questions were being answered. And for that, you are a beautiful lady, because you stepped forward and you didn't ask nothing. You didn't want anything. You just gave of yourself. And that makes for a beautiful you, Megan. And for that, I appreciate that. Has a role of a state director's assistant. You're going to be dealing with so many different personalities, and it's like anything in life, any job, whatever you do. How do you feel you need to handle each individual state director and their needs? Because I know some of them are listening now, so.
I think that each of them are very different. They have very different personalities, and I think that it's important to get to know each of them individually. And by forming not only like a business relationship with them, but a personal relationship, I think it'll help grow a better bond between not only the directors, but between yourself and with me, so that we can make U.S. Beauties, how we're trying to grow, so we can create this pageant that's just going to be this huge thing that contestants next year, they're not even going to know what to expect. So I think that by getting to know everyone, we can just grow. And
well, you know what? We're just not a beauty pageant, okay?
I know.
All the girls are beautiful that compete, in my eyes, because beauty is as beauty does, all right? And beauty, to me, starts from the inner, and then as soon as that inner shines, then you see it outward. What we want to do and what we encourage each contestant is to build up their self-esteem. Have them realize that in life, you can achieve anything that you want to achieve. If you're not hurting anybody, you can achieve anything you want to achieve as long as you believe in yourself. I've had many contestants say to me, you know what, I can't do this. I'm not pageant material. Oh, yes, you are. You may not be the Barbie doll that is so stereotypic of this industry, but you have a good heart, you have a good spirit, and you're beautiful because your spirit shines from within. And what we have planned the next year is amazing. Susan, I need to tell you and catch you up because I know you've been so busy, because Susan just did a fabulous thing with her husband, Tom, and little Sarah, and she's going to tell us about that a little later, because this is one special lady. But our goal this year is a positive self-esteem. We have a health and fitness campaign, Do It Right, Health and Fitness for Life. See the beauty of a healthier you. We want to encourage all of our contestants to stay away from diet pills and starvation methods and to do it right. We have professional consultants such as Susan, as a pageant coach, who is going to work with the contestants to get them to a point of feeling really good about themselves and ready for their competition. I like it when contestants look in the mirror and say, you know what, I feel beautiful because of this. I took the time for me because I needed to. I needed to do this for the competition. I needed to do this for me. You know, a happy woman is a happy wife, is a happy girlfriend, is a happy friend. You know, you have to be unhappy inside of yourself. And so that is what we're focusing on this next year. Our goal, and it looks like we're going to have it, is 60 contestants. We have a Nashville recording artist coming in, Gina James, to be our host, and she's very, very excited. We have things coming up for all the contestants. We're going to focus in on success stories for them and successful people that they are. And we're just very happy to be able to provide encouragement and love to those who feel, you know, maybe a little lack of self-esteem or not feeling good about themselves, because every woman, I don't care how good we look, there's something we don't like about what we look in the mirror at, you know, it could be our nose, our eyes, our hips. So what we do is we encourage the contestants. So that is our goal this year. And with the both of you ladies involved, you know, we're just so happy to have you as part of this team.
Thank you.
Susan did a wonderful thing this year with her husband, Tom. And I'm going to have her tell you the story of why she went to Russia and what she did when she went to Russia and her story. Susan, tell your story to the listeners about what she did.
All right. Well, after Sarah was born, a couple of years later, we wanted more children. And we started late because we got married later in life. Excuse me. I married about 32, and I had Sarah at 35 years old, and so I was 37 years old, and we really wanted to add to our family. Well, I became pregnant twice, but I miscarried twice, and those are pretty devastating miscarriages because of my age and how much I really wanted the child. So it was very hard for me on both of those, and so I got all the testing done, went through all the infertility testing and everything that they could possibly test me on. And we got to the point where they're like, okay, let's do the in vitro. We'll do these very expensive treatments. But I didn't have trouble getting pregnant. It was holding the baby. And so they, you know, gave me some results. They said, hey, it's best that you don't try because of your age and different things that are happening in your body. We don't think it's a good idea that you try to become pregnant anymore. And I agreed because I just didn't want to miscarry anymore, so it was very hard. So Tom and I decided that we would adopt. Well, we looked into adopting in America, and we would have to get on a list and get a birth mother to pick us. Well, a lot of birth mothers choose the parents that are younger, and so we are in our 40s now, and we felt like we would be waiting for a very long time, and then having an infant. After a couple of years, I really wanted a child that could be closer to Sarah in years. So we, through a lot of research, thing for us was to go international. So we decided to research and do some talking to some social workers and agency people, and we found a program in Russia. in Magadan, which is Siberia. It's the most northeast port town, fishing port town, and gold mining town in Russia. So it's way far away. But they had healthy kids in this orphanage, and it was run by doctors. And so they really cared about the kids, and they were in good condition, health-wise. So we waited, and we put in all our information, and, you know, the funds for this was hard, but we came up with it. And it took us 2 years. So we went to see him. We got a referral, which means information on a child, on Leap Day this year. So we accepted the referral, the information, and said, hey, you know, we do want to meet this child. So we went over the end of March, right after the national competition. I was excited to go. We got to meet Alexander, was his name, and he was precious. He was beautiful. He has white toe head with beautiful blue eyes and full of life and energy and wants to see, you know, how he gets along with you, and he hugs and kisses, and oh, we just fell in love with him. The first day he was trying to figure us out, but the second day he was like, okay, these people are safe, I like them. So we bonded with him very fast, and we came home, and then 6 weeks later we got a court date to go and to adopt him. So we just got back, actually, from adopting him from Russia just last week, and then we went on a little vacation, and we're home for about 3 days. So right now I'm talking in my bathroom with the door closed to you this evening because it's very noisy in the house. If you hear an echo, that's why. But
well, you know, hey, we're a natural show. Whatever goes here goes, you know.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting here, you know, next to my bathtub, just enjoying conversation. And my husband, Tom, is putting down Alex and Sarah, my daughter, tonight. He's great, and so I could talk to you all. We're excited to build this family and have a whole family now.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing what you did, and you should be applauded. And you know something, it takes a special family such as yourself to go through the trials and tribulations of actually the adoption of something like this, and it's not easy to do. I mean, there's a lot of red tape and things I'm sure you had to go through. And
yeah,
you know,
at the last minute, it got a little crazy, but you know, we just kept looking at the end result, and we made it through.
And you know what? That is so wonderful. So there's hope for those that are listening that cannot have children. You never give up on your dreams. Never give up on your dreams. It doesn't matter what it is in life. Never give up on your dreams. If you go after it and you believe in yourself, you pray about it, you keep faith, things will happen. And Susan is definitely proof of that.
Well, he put it in my heart. I think if God has something in your heart, that you'll be able to accomplish it in some form.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Your son is definitely a godsend. And I remember when you used to be concerned about certain things, I used to remind you that God has it all under control. And look at, here you are, and here he is. So I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Megan, I want to talk to you about the pageant industry. Because, you know, it's very poked at and fun, made fun of. And, you know, we're not trying to invent the wheel, but we're trying very, very hard to bring the positive aspects of this industry to the women of the United States. And I feel that we can do that because we are growing at a phenomenal rate, have wonderful people on board that believe in what they're doing. And you're fairly young. And so we have a lot of young girls stepping in and wanting to be involved with the pageant competition. Some of them are concerned about the stereotyping of the industry. So what advice would you give to these girls who say, you know, oh, pageants are for Barbie dolls and, you know, the crown and banner is, you know, what does that really mean and things like that? Let's try to convince them that this is a very wonderful experience for them to go through.
I think the biggest thing with pageants is that girls need to have a way to express themselves. And pageants are an incredible outlet where you can showcase your personality. It's not all about looks, which is what so many people think. You can have a platform. You can have a talent. I mean, they're not always, it's you have to look beyond like what pageants started out as. And with U.S. Beauties, we're doing so many self-esteem things. We're showing girls that it's okay to be positive about yourself. It's okay to have confidence. And we're doing something for a beautiful you. And people just have to look beyond the negatives. There's so many, everything about pageants, when you hear about it on the news, it's always so negative. They have shows on TV that showcase the terrible things that pageant girls do, but they never show the good things that they do. Girls who are involved with different organizations, girls who give donations, girls who volunteer their time. And it's such a growing experience for everyone that just isn't focused on enough. It's not all about makeup. It's not all about the dresses. It's about girls who are real girls who are talented and smart and creative and confident. And that needs to be focused on more.
It sure
does. Which is exactly what we do.
You know, it sure does. I remember a few years ago, my wonderful husband Dennis and myself, who Dennis is a major supporter of what I do. I don't think I would be able to do what I do without him. And like Susan with Tom by her side, it makes things so much easier when you have that guy there when you're married and you want to do these things and they're with you. So I appreciate my husband. But I remember him and I spoke to a Chicago producer about doing a positive pageant documentary. I never pitched something so hard in my life. I sat there for almost 3-4 hours talking away about the benefits of a positive documentary. If I wish after 3 hours he didn't waste my time because I was exhausted, because the only thing he said to me after everything was said and done was, well, gee, we can't do this because there's nothing negative that you want to portray. Okay, well, don't you think there's enough negativity on the airwaves today? I can't stand turning on the television shows when they're discrediting people, making fun of them, putting them down, saying mean things to them, knocking down their self-esteem, which is already hurting, and making them feel like they can't do anything. You know, and I want to hopefully one day produce a positive documentary. If anybody's listening that's in television, please contact us. We do want to do it. We have hundreds of women who would participate, and we would start from A to Z about this very business of how dedicated these girls are that start sometimes a year before their competition to make it, to try to do it, to try to win that tiara crown. I always compare pageants, Megan and Susan, to Dorothy following the yellow brick road to the tiara crown. You know, it's pretty much you start at the beginning of the yellow brick road, and as you go along, you have good people and bad people that, you know, you have to bypass. But the industry in a whole is pretty good. I mean, you know, I want to make this known right now that I refuse to get on any message boards or blogs cutting down any pageant directors or contestants ever. You won't see me doing it. I think it is the most horrible thing in the world to do when you do something like that to try to hurt people, okay? And I really think it's terrible. Our goal here is to try to bring happiness and self-esteem and make everybody feel they're special. And you know what? We're going to do that. Why don't you tell everybody, Megan, what we've got planned for this next year for the contestants? Because I know a lot of them are listening right now.
Well, first of all, we have Gina James, who's going to be our host. She's amazing. She has an amazing voice. I mean,
I
haven't
love
heard
her.
Oh,
yeah, she's my best friend. I love her.
I wasn't when I heard her on the show the first week, I was like, that's not what I would have thought she would have sounded like, but she is such an inspirational woman, and I was glad to hear from her, and I think all our contestants are really going to enjoy her.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, and we also have a lot of growth with the pageant for the next year. We have so many state directors who have stepped up, so there's going to be a lot more competition. We've been growing the last few years, so there's a lot to look forward to competition-wise as well for next year. And we're also having the pageant, again, in Illinois. I believe it's the Prairie Center in Schaumburg?
Yes, in the theater.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. If you've looked at any of the pictures, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really great pageant for next year. So the girls are really lucky because it's a beautiful, beautiful theater.
Yeah, and you know, we don't really focus on platforms, but we are focusing on the successes of each contestant. If they helped a sick or ill grandmother, if they were there to help a puppy dog they found on the side of the street, whatever, you know, if they got a job that they worked so hard at. We are focusing on the successes of each contestant this year, and we're also focusing on their successes during their health and fitness with our consultants, which brings me to Susan again, because we want to speak about Susan's business, which is Integrity Pageant Coaching, and I love that name, Integrity, because it surely stands for Susan, who is, has the most integrity that I've ever met in a person. Tell everybody about your business, Susan.
Well, I do work out of my home, and I try to help girls of all ages. I have a little girl I started with at 2 years old, and I've worked with a 42-year-old, so I have a range of clients that I work with, and they do come in from all over the country. They come down, or they make a weekend out of it because Nashville's a good tourist spot, and so they'll come down, or they'll be local in the state. And I have a facility at my church that has a ballet room that has a great marley floor, and so those that have dance routines, and that's the room that I teach the kids in. I work with the kids at church in a volunteer dance program there. And so I can work with the girls that have like a dance talent or any kind of talent that requires space. I have the space to do it there, and I can also help them with their on-stage presentations, walking, turning, poise, eye contact. A lot of the time they don't know how to hold their shoulders back properly or to walk properly. Their feet are turned out or they're turned in. So I really help the girls walk properly, stand properly. We go over interview skills, voice tone, eye contact again. We go over many questions and techniques. And I learned my trade from Diane over probably 300 hours of phone consultation and just working with her personally through the pageant year. And I learned additional things by judging. This was something that really helped me understand different pageant systems. I'll go and I'll judge, and I'll get a feel for that pageant. And that system, you know, will put an ad in their program book and advertise for me. It's kind of a trade. And I'll get lots of girls through those ads. And just on my online site, integritypageantcoaching.com, that's where most of my flow comes. I don't have a MySpace thing, or I don't advertise much more with anybody else. People just plug in, you know, a coach for Tennessee or, you know, a coach, and there's just not many out there, and they'll come up online and find me, and they'll read about me, that I'm a Christian, and they'll read my bio, and if they get a good feel for me and they're comfortable, they'll call, or their parents will call, and we'll work together. We'll make some time, and we'll work 2 or 3 hours at a time, depending on their age, and we go over every aspect of pageant competition, you know, even the wardrobe. I work closely with a 5 minutes away, which is great, a pageant wardrober. So just depending on budget, we can, you know, we work with everyone. And I've really enjoyed it. I can make my own hours with my kids, which is extremely important because I have to find sitters. And my husband, you know, he sits for me. And so it's something only thing I really could do, and it's in my heart to do. And I really enjoy it. So I have fun helping the girls. It's a blast to see them see themselves do better. And so,
yeah, you're taking them from a point of, I don't know how to apply my makeup. I don't know how to stand straight. I don't know what to do with my hair. I can't match the colors on my wardrobe. And all of a sudden, it reminds me of E.T. Remember on E.T. when all of a sudden they thought the flower was gone and all of a sudden it blossomed up?
Yes.
That is what we see with these girls. They blossom. You see the beauty come forward. We're taking girls who didn't feel good about themselves and helping them to achieve a great self-esteem. And you know what? Isn't that exciting, Susan? Oh,
it's
so exciting.
I'll go
to their pageant, and I'm the loudest one screaming when they're competing of the girls that I pageant coach. They can have 40 family members, and I'm the one screaming the loudest. I am so proud of them.
I'm holding the sign.
Yeah. And, you know, and then when they win, you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, they did it. Oh, I'm so happy. And
feel a part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and you do, and you feel part of it. You know, I tell them I contribute to it, but it's up to you to take it and use it.
That's
you know,
for sure.
So.
That's for sure. It's got to be their choice. Otherwise, it's not going to help.
Now, Megan, you've been in pageants for a while. How have they helped you grow as an individual?
Pageants were something that I could use as an outlet so that I could showcase my personality a little bit more. I gained so much confidence from being involved in them. It's an experience that unless you've competed in them, you don't really understand it because they just help you grow so much as a person. You meet so many people and you're put in a situation where, yeah, at the time it's kind of about the crown, but at the end, you're just like, wow, I really grew from that. You met these people. You had the chance to express yourself. And you were showing that you believe in yourself. And it's something that if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is. Like, it's people believe in you as well. But showing that you have the confidence in yourself, I think, is one of the most amazing things. And being involved in pageants, it's helped me grow in ways that I can't even explain. It's been wonderful for me.
When you do the judge's interview, you're preparing yourself for actual interview for job positions down the road when you think of it. There's so many different avenues and ways that becoming a pageant contestant will help you in your experiences in your own life down the road. You know, and it's not showcased that way. It's not explained the right way, you know, and it needs to be. And I feel for myself, when I won the pageant, I didn't care if there was gifts there. I didn't care about clothing and money and anything that comes with accolades as far as gifts go. All I wanted to do was win the title because I'm from old pageant school. You know, when I won my pageant, you would think I was sad. I stood up there and I was sobbing so bad, the audience started crying because they thought I was sad because I won. I was so excited and so enthralled about this whole thing that when they placed the crown and banner on me, I thought the first runner-up should have had it. I didn't think I won. I will never forget how I felt during that experience. And it has helped me grow as an individual and feel good about myself. And that is one of the reasons why we hope to encourage and help our girls. And it's like another snapshot in their life. Because I'll tell you, we've seen many of our girls through the years go on to do things in their life in part because they won our national title. I've been told this over and over again. And being a part of a young lady or woman's success makes us feel good. And not all things are, you know, good, you know, in any type of business. I mean, you know, you have your negatives as well as positives, but we try to dwell on the positive and leave the negative out, and that's what we encourage our state directors to do. And, Susan, if somebody was contemplating competing in the Misses, but the husband really is kind of like, I don't know if I want her to do this, what is this, how is this going to benefit her, how would you try to encourage that husband to help his wife or feel good about wanting his wife to compete in a pageant?
Well, you would probably, if I knew them well and I talked to, if I knew the wife well, if I could just maybe, you know, go out to dinner with them and tell them my own experience. And, you know, Tom really didn't understand all about it, but he was, because he loves me, he supports really anything I choose to do as long as it's nothing that's going to hurt me or he doesn't see, you know, a red flag in front of me and I'm blinded to it. He sees it as a dream of mine, something that I felt led to do as for me as a Christian, I felt led to do. And he supported me. And I would just let the husband know that if it's in her heart to do it and she's, her motivations are right, and you're going to see her be encouraged and confidence being built in her, she's going to be a happier wife, and she's going to be a better wife you know, to you as a husband, you know, that, like you said earlier, happy wife, happy life. So supporting, you know, supporting your wife in something that she's wanting to do, I think it would be an advantage to your marriage and to your relationship.
Exactly. For sure. And you know, if as long as the woman's not hurting anybody, if it's something she wants to do, guys, come on, stand by her side. You know, you want her to be happy. She gives so much of herself every day. So let's make her happy and be supportive of her. You know, and you be support, and wife, be supportive of your husband. I mean, it's a two-way street. You know, communication is the key to a successful marriage. We're going to have a subject on that down the road with special guests coming on. Now, Megan, being that you're young, How do you feel about the young girls competing? Do you think they compete differently than the more mature women?
I think that with the younger girls, a lot of them don't really see the benefits of pageantry. I think a lot of them are just competing to compete, to get the crown, to say, hey, I won this pageant. Where I know a lot of girls really love them, but it kind of makes me wonder some of their motivations, because there's some girls who, if they don't win, they're so upset about it that they bash the pageant and they talk negatively and then they never compete in it again. Where there's some girls who are so, like the Mrs. Division, it seems like the Mrs. ladies are always so like honored and they're so humbled that they won and they just seem so thankful for it. But with a lot of the younger girls, it seems like they just want the crown, which is really... it's really sad to see, because you can do so much with a crown, you can do so much with a title, and with that opportunity, so many doors are open to them that I don't think they really realize or understand a lot of the time.
And, you know, even if they don't win a crown and banner, they're still winners in our eyes because they took the initiative to compete. It takes a lot to get on stage in front of people and compete, which is why we don't do swimsuit, okay? I feel like girls don't make personal appearances in swimsuits. We don't need to do that, even though I know a lot of swimsuit competitions based on health and fitness of each contestant. We have high fashion, and I'll tell you, I love it, because they walk up on stage and they model and model the way they want to model in front of the judges. And I just love it because they're modeling the way they want to, the way they feel at that time on stage. Years ago, Megan, I don't know if you knew this, but we had a choreographed pageant production, and it was a lot of fun. We had a great time, but it wasn't like a pageant. And it was more theatrical with a lot of, you know, choreographed numbers and things that the girls had to learn. And it was, you know, it was difficult to do that, you know. So, and a lot of the contestants felt like it wasn't for them. But for my love of theater and dance, I've injected a lot of me into it, but I decided that we need to go back to the traditional way of competing with elegance and glamour. And I'm very happy we did, because it was very elegant this year. And I really enjoyed watching the girls compete on stage. And it wasn't 4 hours. Our show used to be 3 or 4 hours. So, but, yeah, there's so many benefits to doing things in life, you know. And if it's not pageantry, do something in your life that you feel good about. It'll make you happy, because, you know, we need that today. And like I said, there's enough negativity in the world today that I think people are forgetting about the empathy and the compliments and being good to one another. And I'm not putting apples and oranges together, because there are a lot of good people out there and there are a lot of caring people. But I wish we heard about it more, and we don't. And I hope one day that we make a small difference in helping a lot of the girls with their competitions. So, Susan, I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. I've been wanting to talk to you so bad, and giving this hour has been a blessing for me, because I've missed you so much, and I know things are happening in your life. But you've always been special to me, and again, I want to thank you for being the wonderful, wonderful friend that you were, especially when I was ill for almost a year, and I really appreciate you standing by my side for that.
Well, I'm still here. So it all equals.
I know you are, honey, but I don't get a chance to tell you that much.
Well, thank you. The same for me to you. I appreciate your friendship and keeping in contact with me and wanting me to stay a part of your Paget family. That's pretty wonderful in my point of view that someone would want to keep their elder queens involved the way you do.
Oh, this woman's beautiful,
so
elder. Oh, my gosh. You're 5'10", beautiful, big blue eyes. Okay, whatever. We won't go there.
Oh,
Megan, you have stood by my side from the beginning, and you continue to do that. And I know that you're very busy with school and college and everything. So I want to thank you for everything you've done and for being on the show tonight, both of you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed having you. I can't believe the hour's up already, and we have to go. But I welcome any comments. Any suggestion, questions, you know, that our listeners may have. And I want to thank everybody for joining for A Beautiful You. And we'll see you next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Central. And have a good evening and God bless.